And the bell sounds okay, right? It sounds okay? All right. Okay. I love ringing it. That's the one thing I really miss about the center. I mean, much as being together with everybody, that's obviously the best part. But we were always had the bells, and in Zoom, it wasn't working as well. So, all right. So please know that it's okay to bring your lunch and your snacks back with you into the group, okay? Because I understand for 10 minutes is not necessarily enough time to go make lunch and eat it. And, you know, we're trying to be mindful, right? So that said, I'm actually going to, let's do that first. Let's talk about the reading first. I was going to have you go do an exercise, but I think it'll be easier to just talk about the readings, and you can eat your lunches, your snacks at the same time. I don't have a problem if you eat with your mouth, you eat with your mouth closed. If you talk with your food in your mouth, that doesn't bother me, but so do whatever works for you. But let's open it up to talking about these readings. I have to tell you, when I went back and read this one that you had first assigned you guys, it was like going back and spending time with a dear, dear old friend. It was so beautiful. And I just loved it. But it's more advanced. And so I'm reading it and I'm thinking, oh my God, you guys, we're like far down the road now. If you've already read this stuff, we're good. So actually there was a lot in here that I think will make, it's almost like it's giving you a little bit of just exposure to something that's going to make a lot of other stuff make more sense. It'll give you some context. It was not in any way time wasted. Yeah. I just want to assure you of that. And then, but this one, I think Lisa texted me and said, oh, so much better. What was it you texted? It was like, yeah. So let's do this. What if we unmute and let's open up the discussion again? And what I think maybe one way to start is to, let's go reverse order. Let's go from no hair to longest hair. And, you know, but each person talks, if somebody has a question or comment, let's make it a little more open dialogue. But what did you love? First question, what did you love most, or what was most meaningful to you of what you read? And then is there something that it just left you cold, didn't do a thing for you, and you have a question about it? Or, because there's actually a lot of openings for questions in these readings. And rather than me going in there and say, oh my God, I want to tell you about this and this and this and this, that would take a month. So if you have a question, bring it to the group. If not, if you could share with us, and let's open it up for a little bit of dialogue. Ramon, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I think what I found most interesting, and I think we talked about this at our one-on-one, but the concentration and relaxations, how those are kind of getting you ready for the meditation, not actually the meditation. And I've always thought that the breathing exercises and all that was actually the meditation. And I have gotten into deeper states and I forgot about the breathing and the breath. And I just kind of go into that. And then I've come out, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be breathing. But I guess the point is that was one of the things that kind of, I felt good about, because I was like, oh, I guess I wasn't really meditating at that point. I didn't think I was, but I was just trying to get to a point where I was relaxed and concentrated enough to get into that state. So I found that interesting. And I think the other thing I found interesting was, I forget what page it was on, but it was how we put folks who are on this path on a kind of a pedestal. And I know for a fact, because I have friends who are on this, that they're not saints. You know, they're human beings just like us, and they have flaws just like we do. And, you know, they're just human. And when I've heard people say something like, I can't believe this person did that, I go, well, they're fucking human. I mean, they're not God, you know, they're not there. They're aspiring to be something that's get there. They're not there yet. And that's part of being human. It's just you do things and maybe we don't understand why they're doing it. Maybe they're doing it because they're still learning. I don't know. We're all on different points of our growth. So those are the two things for me that kind of, came out. I didn't have a lot of questions. I've read similar books and I've kind of come to conclusion, the same kind of conclusions as some of these things. So, that's how it went for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say anything. Just keep going.
No, I think that's, let me see. Oh, the last thing was just, and this is something that I tried to practice, and I have at least a question, is not making things a big deal, and kind of just viewing things as kind of all kind of being at the same level. My wife made a comment the other day because we're going to New York for a trip, and obviously with COVID, a lot of us haven't been able to go anywhere. We're going on this trip. Someone's paying for this beautiful spa we're going to. It's a beautiful place. And she's like, "Are you excited?" I'm like, I was like, "Yeah, it's okay." She goes, "Well, what do you mean it's okay? Aren't you super excited?" And I was just like, it's not, the experience isn't here yet. So I don't know how to feel excited about something that's not in front of me at this point. So she's like, "I don't know. You're making this suck for me." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know what to, try to enjoy the moment. I'm not trying not to be happy about it. It's just that I don't get excited like that. Like she does. She's all excited. She's getting ready. And I'm like, so I guess my question is, and I noticed this with sports. I remember a long time ago, just parallel. I remember I used to watch a lot of sports and then I just got tired of it because of these things happening. You get really into it and then you get this big low and then you get this big high and I was just like, man, this sucks. I can't deal with this emotional swing for me isn't good. And I was wondering, is there a parallel between that? Because I want to explain to her, it's not that I don't feel excited. It's that I don't feel like it's, I think life is good. Life should be about this. We should be having experiences. I don't feel like I should jump up and down for this experience. I don't know. I don't want to be let down. But if I don't go to that level, then I don't have to go through here. And I don't know if that's part of, I don't know what the right balance of that is, I guess is my question.
I'm going to go ahead and answer that. I think there's lots of actually layers to that. But I'm going to take it from this vantage point. You may be finding some equanimity, right? Yeah. You've realized that, whoa, if I go here, whoop, I'm going to end up there. And I really want to live here.
Yeah.
And so at moments like that, what we can do is feed on the delight the other person is experiencing and let that fill us and respond from that place. I am so excited. I'm so happy. You're so happy. It just warms my heart. Yes, I am excited. And your excitement is for her happiness. Mm-hmm. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that our equanimity doesn't become the rain on the parade. Because that's not what we want to do, right?
Yeah.
So does that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that helps. Definitely helps. Thank you.
That's a great, great insight. So. All right.
Thank you, Karen. That was very good. I've had a similar question before, Ramon, so thank you.
All right, Mr. Steve.
Well, quick question. So we're purposefully skipping chapters, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you can read them, but it's like what I'm trying to focus on. I have a focus with these chapters. Got and I want to keep you out of some other concepts. Yep. There's the other chapters have other concepts and vocabulary. I don't want to go there.
Right. So I've been following that path.
Thank you.
To skip, which doesn't make sense to me to skip a chapter. I mean, it does. I get it. Of course it does. Because you're teaching this. And why would we not skip chapters? Okay, so let's see. Number one, I was interested to, well, let me just back up. I really liked this reading. I was surprised at how much I liked it, and how different it was. I think what I liked just in general, and I suppose it was a little extreme, although accurate, when it kind of starts out that, you know, the mind really is monstrous. I mean, it's just this, I mean, I like that. It's great because it is monstrous. I mean, it can be monstrous. And it was just like all these endless deceptions and lies and just all this sort of junk. And the concept of being able to get beyond that and, you know, to insight. I think insight is like what the Vipassana translates to. But
Vipassana. It's pronounced Vipassana.
Vipassana. So,
which, can you tell us where you are? What pages are you looking at right now?
The first chapter, let's see, chapter one. Okay, so I guess if you go to page two, just as an example, go to the second to last paragraph on page two. It basically just says, so what is wrong with you? Are you a freak? No, you are just human and you suffer, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, it is a monster inside of all this. I won't read it to you, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's just one example of like, you know, sort of a pretty good list of, you know, the suffering, as Lisa said, the maladies, all of this stuff. And, then I thought that, I mean, I thought that that part, I mean, it's the, you know, the way he just essentially described the human condition, what it is like to be as human. And I think that element was really a description of the suffering, which I know they talk about that in the Buddha and stuff, the suffering. And so, then I thought that just in general, the rest of the readings were really like gentle and clear about what meditation is and how to get beyond that, and how to move beyond, I mean, the suffering, if you will, just to get back to the monster. So just in general, I just found it very helpful. Like I said, just for the record, I need to reread the last chapter, which looks to me like it's very important. And I just kind of skimmed it. And then again, just to reiterate, I like whatever Vipassana meditation is. If that's what we're following, I guess that's one track that we're following. Because if this is Vipassana meditation, well, it sure makes sense to me. And then I think I just want to like, Ramon commented on traveling. I have a little bit of a different take on traveling. Because all of a sudden I've got all this travel to do. And I think that that's one of the things that set me off. And I've been dying to travel for a year now. And all of a sudden I'm fully vaccinated now, and there's this and there's that and there's this, and then there's remote work. And it's almost like I've been so looking forward to traveling. And now it's like, oh my, geez, all my organization and this and my travel bag and my laptop. And it's just like, oh my God, dude. So anyway, I just had to say, I haven't had to travel and it's been fine. But it's just a weird mishmash of all of a sudden, you know, being able to kind of get out there again. So anyway.
So Steve, let's all learn how to say Vipassana. Okay. So asana is a Sanskrit word. And it's when we are doing postures, like with yoga, you're in an asana, you're in triangle pose, you're in downward dog. When you're sitting in a meditation posture, it's an asana, okay? And this is vipassana. So just put a p on the front of asana. So it's pasana, and then v in front of that. So it's vipassana, vipassana, vipassana. And the reason I brought Vipassana in is because it's the most, we're going to get into that later. It's the Buddhist tradition that has informed the mindfulness movement that is pervasive, becoming pervasive around the country. And so, and his writing is so clear and it's so simple in the first book, the book you're supposed to be reading, right? And so, but we're not going to become Vipassana people, right? This is, it is like a whole school. Now, whether you might want to study it more later, but for our purposes, it's kind of what we're using as the foundation to help us understand mindfulness. And mindfulness is, well, I don't want to go into that right now. We'll go into that in a bit. So Vipassana. Got it? Steve, can you say it?
Vipassana.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. And so, yeah, and I agree with you. I think that that last chapter is it's kind of taking all of the, it's taking a lot of it and it's summing it up in a way. These are the attributes of mindfulness. These are the qualities that it, you bring to it, and it's all the qualities that it then brings to you, right? So, so no more sinew and bones and ghosts and going in the cemeteries, you know, in a lot of the Buddhist tradition, I don't know a lot of them, but certainly in the Tibetan tradition, part of your practice at some point, your training is to go sit in a cemetery for 3 to 10 days. And sit with the death and the decay and all of it as training to recognize all of it as not real, impermanent, not real. We're not going to do that. So, okay. So let's continue on. Miss Brenda. Oh no, Agnieszka's next.
yes. Well, unfortunately, I did not make time to read all the chapters, but I read the first one and I really liked it. And I think what Steve said, you know, especially the words that were, reading that I am not the only one who has those thoughts or not good enough yet, have to make it better, have to be better. That's, it's a normal, it's a human experience. That was very, very helpful, not to judge myself. And also, I really like how he, talked about how we label the thinking or how we put our thoughts or experiences into boxes. I mean, positive and negative, but also I never thought about the neutral box. There's an entire, I mean, we miss so much out of life, right? Because it was neither negative, neither positive. And I think it's this aspect of taking so many things for granted because we have them, we make nothing out of it. While other people look at this and go, oh my God, you're so lucky. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Right? Because I'm so used to, let's say, certain qualities or experiences. So I like that kind of paying attention to everything in between good and bad. And I think that's what mindfulness is really all about. The process of getting here or there. And I found this reading... hopeful. This is just one chapter, but when I read the other book, there was a lot of, you know, about death and the body deteriorating. So it was like, okay, this is it. This is the end of my life. And this talks about, you know, it's a hard work, but yes, you can change it. You can, this is normal. Kind of don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You'll get through this. So that's, yes, also, yes, what I underlined a lot when he talks about our desire, right? If we, it's really, it's not about the food. It's just about that relief. And how can we get that relief just by stopping, pausing for a moment and being present and really questioning those thoughts or really analyzing what do I really want? What do I really want from this ice cream? What do I really want? And it's that relief. So there are other, maybe more ways that are more harmonious with our goal that we can fulfill that momentary craving. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's I really enjoyed it. Just the one chapter. So I look forward to reading more.
Thank you. I love how Kriyananda's got the ice cream sundae and we've got it in this one too. So here's what I'm going to do to facilitate you guys talking more, because among yourself, it really helps when I'm not on the screen. But if you have a specific question for me, or if there's something like, you know, Vipassana, I want to make sure that we all know how to say that word, because that's out there. Then I'll come back on. But what I'd like you to do is really just share with each other, because do you notice that when somebody is sharing about the reading, you're hearing it in a different way? Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to read. It's another thing to talk about it and begin to really integrate the concepts in another way and hear them differently. So I think I'm an impediment and I tend to want to blah, 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 share too much. So I'm going away, but I will be here if there's a question. So.
She's looking at it. She's over your shoulder right now.
Bless of God.
Were you all done, Anushka?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, yes.
It's Brenda.
Sorry, my family, we're running a garage sale. I have to tend to something. So somebody else go. I'll have a listen in, but I got to do something really quick.
I think it was me, right? So I really loved the first book, to be honest, but I did find a lot. Even in the first chapter, on the first page, that second paragraph that goes over to the next one, there you are suddenly realizing that you were spending your whole life just barely getting by. I mean, I clearly remember at 4:30, getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I had 6 a.m. meetings almost every day, and looking in the mirror one day going, what am I doing? And so when I read that, I was like, wow. I mean, that's kind of where my whole journey started, was just one day going, what kind of life am I leading myself through anymore? So, you know, none of us are free from it too. So I think somebody already said too, you know, the comfort in knowing that you're not the only one thinking these things or going through these, you know, and now it's funny to me to think that I thought I was the only one. But in the time, you know, you think you're the only one. The other thing I found very helpful was, so, you know, the explanations, you know, people are asking me more and more about meditation, or I'm trying to teach some of my clients about what it is or what it's not. And so I thought that was very helpful. I did not get to chapter 13 either, Steve. So I'm right there with you. And, but it's just very interesting, because I feel like sometimes when you're reading this, it's like, are they just in my head? Do they know what I'm thinking all the time? So that's it.
Okay. Crisis averted, apparently. So my husband might still be popping in here, but anyway, he hates garage sales and I'm making him do it while I'm here. So, so I started reading this book and was like, ah, okay, this is so much more comforting and like easier. And I wasn't feeling that, like, I got to write everything down. Like, it was a big sigh of relief. Which is funny, because the line that kind of really spoke to me is, pain is inevitable, suffering is not. So even though the other book was painful, I made it suffering. but I just thought that, I don't know why, that just that line was very simple, but it really, and there was a whole thing around that about, you know, sometimes this can be perceived as really pessimistic because we're like, oh no, sit with your problems, look at your problems, you know, be with the negative, the positive, the whatever. And really that by doing that, it's actually an optimistic way to get through life, that we're not, collapsing, as the word that Karen uses a lot, we're not collapsing in on those things, we're just letting them be. And I thought that was just really, that just kind of tied a lot of stuff together that we've been, that I've been doing over the years. So yeah. And I also haven't read 13. So what was that? Like, we can only read 5 of the 6, but I'll get to it this week. So
I think that means that I'm next. And the book was delivered. It sat on my console table. I loved looking at it every time I walked by, but I did not get a chance to read any this week. So I will be making it up, and I've enjoyed hearing everyone share their thoughts of the reading. So I hope, like Brenda, I get that sigh of relief when I open it up and start reading.
I'll jump in. Let's see. I'm not muted. Okay, good. So yeah, Steve, I put a sticky note, that same section you were talking about, right? That was my first sticky note for what is wrong with you? Are you a freak? No, you're just human. And I was like, okay, I'm in this book. I'm digging it. I found it interesting that you mentioned the thing about, okay, travel, life, you know, like want life to be back to normal. And then I had recently texted a friend just like, you know, I think I'm at like 45% capacity of what we used to do and I'm good. Like the light bulb a little bit of, wow, what insanity we used to do in our daily life has been, it's been really interesting. So as we have kids back in hybrid, and I had the opportunity this week, I was driving Lily and picking her up on 3 days. And I was like the first day it was really fun because I haven't done it in so long. Go to school. Yay. And by the last day I was like, okay, I'm just glad that there's only half of the amount of people here today because they're in the crosswalk. They're walking all over. They're wild. They're gassing their car. They almost backed into me. And it was just so interesting to go, this is just a fraction of the hamster wheel that we're normally on. So I know, my husband has got 2 trips, coming up and he's kind of like, yeah, I mean, and he, like, I don't know how we got through the year, like, right? Like but in the fall before things sort of shut down, he took a new job and he was gone all the time. So it was a huge adjustment. Like, what are you doing in my space? Right. And then we all had to live like that. So I think it's interesting, right? Like to observe, like, well, maybe I have learned something and I do want the freedom to be out and about, but it resonated with me when you said that. And then the other piece, I know it's a little off topic, but the other thing that struck me that I highlighted and wrote on was the similarities. So it was from the other book. It was one of the pieces from the other book that connected with me, and that we all breathe, right? Trying to find that core similarity. And it was a reminding to not dwell upon the contrasts that exist between us, because ordinary human thinking leads us to greed, jealousy, pride, yeah. Comparing. I noted that same piece in the other book, the sameness, right? I'm like, oh, theme coming up for me. And I wrote on that particular sticky note, I still pulled it out of this book as well. So this one was gentler, but it was also something I resonated with in the other book. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I highlighted that as well in there. I remember that.
So I think that's, I mean, there were lots of other things that I liked about it. Yeah, I was highlighting a ton, but those were the main things that I wanted to share.
I think I might be next, I'm guessing. Lisa, it's the same. I've got like sticky notes everywhere. Everything's underlined. I'm like, I'm studying it like a textbook, and because it was just really fun for me to read this book. And, I just found it so helpful and like all these aha moments, like it's just like pithy little things. And I discovered that what he's doing is he's just trying to, it's like a whole book of words to describe something you can't describe. I mean, it's just incredible how much he's right. Really trying to create, you know, this picture of what it is when he says over and over, you can't, there aren't words really. And so I kind of loved that. The first thing I'll mention that I really helped me was the different misconceptions. And one of them was something that resonated so deeply with me, was that meditation is selfish. And it talks about that sometimes we feel like if we're meditating, we're not out doing, you know, these bigger, grander things that, that really need our attention, you know, like, and I feel that a lot, a real struggle within me a lot. Like there's so much social injustice, and I'm in a constant state of war with what I want to be doing. And then I give up because I say, oh, it's all performative. I can't really be, you know, I'm not going to do it well or do it right. And so I just get really caught up in that. And then I think, well, who am I, this privileged white girl just getting to sit here and meditate? Like I just really have a lot of struggle around that. And this misconception helped me so much. It brought me so much comfort because he talked about, that he said, that sometimes harm in the name of help is one of the oldest games. And because sometimes we can get caught up in that idea, that kind of ego of needing to do good, when in fact it's a way of turning away from the loftiest activities. Since the ego has a way of turning the loftiest activities into trash if it's allowed free range. That when we truly begin to be genuinely selfless, we can cleanse ourselves of selfishness. And that's not a selfish activity. So it just was, anyway, it meant a lot to me. It made a lot of sense. But there are so many other really fun things that I loved. I loved the idea that, Western science, has finally figured out that when we observe something, we change that thing. Whereas in Eastern science has recognized that for thousands of years. So I thought that was really a really cool way of saying that. The idea of what mindfulness is, I circled this a bunch of times, but wordless bare attention. And I thought that was such a cool little synopsis of what it is. It's wordless bare attention. Like it's, yeah. He talked a lot about what mindfulness is, what meditation is, and what awareness is. And yet, it's really hard to describe what it is. So I thought that was cool. Chapter 13 was really beautiful. I have a ton of notes on that one. Too many to talk about. And then I think one of the last points that I thought was really fun that I enjoyed a lot was, he talked about that, what is again, one of the misconceptions, that we'll just suddenly get like this big enlightenment. But he said that, that a lot of people enter the practice expecting instantaneous cosmic revelation, complete with angelic choirs. And what they usually get is a more efficient way to take out the trash, better ways to deal with Uncle Herman. They are needlessly disappointed. The trash solution comes first. The voices of archangels take a bit longer. And I thought that was really cute. And very true. It's like sometimes it's the simplest things that we just have to, it's like chop wood, carry water. It's like that whole idea of just getting down to bare bones. So anyway, lots of thoughts about it.
Right, it's just Lisa and Oregon and me left. Okay, you want to go? Or do you want me to go? I guess I can go. Thanks to Karen, I got this book delivered quite quickly, and so I felt very compelled to read it, even when I didn't have the time, because I didn't want to disappoint people. So that's my people-pleasing thing, which is kind of goes into this. Meditative awareness that it talks about and seeing things exactly as they are and allowing that in it to be okay and accepting it, because in my history, I have not been allowed to see things exactly as they are. I've had to deny the truth to cover other people's shame and, you know, live in that and ignore the things I was feeling. And so I've always been called a pessimist and, you know, but I'm like, no, there's suffering and you're hurting people and it's real. And no, you're just a pessimist. No, it's just reality, and it's not negative. It's not positive. It's just neutral. And some things need to be talked about, and it's okay to address things that arise and to be given that permission. And I think that was kind of interesting to see that I had that permission to sit and look at things as they are, not apply a meaning. I'm even in a place in my life right now where I have to sit in a place where they are, and there is a lot of meaning to be applied in every direction. And when I sit here in a meditative or a mindful state, not applying meaning, the thing that arises for me is, what are other people going to think while I'm sitting here not applying meaning, when there's so much meaning to apply, and I should be feeling this way and I should be feeling that way and I should be doing this, and why are you even smiling today because life sucks? And then it's just, I don't know, to give myself permission to just sit there and not have these extreme reactions like Ramon was talking about, and being okay. It's okay that I don't have these extreme reactions. And even living with difficult people who are always angry, to sit in there and not engage in that and not feel guilty that I'm not engaging in that emotion with them, because that's been, for this meditation thing is for me to actually navigate the world in a way that's detached from everybody else. And so this is kind of interesting. I like this book a lot. It was a lot better for sure than the other one. The other one was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to deal with it. I did like the physical pain thing, as I mentioned before, but that goes back to that thought bubble and allowing that space between, what am I supposed to be feeling? What am I feeling? What is this thing that's happening right now? And is it okay to sit there and just look at it? Without a thought, without an emotion attached to it, and give myself the time to do that. So anyway, thank you. Kind of jumbled. Oh, Lisa, that was so meaningful. And that meant a lot to me personally. I'm sure it meant a lot to other people too. Oh, gosh. This book, I have so many things to say, and I love listening to everybody, and I'm like, should we be best friends because we have the same experiences? But this book, wow, I totally agree. I was like, okay, this is a huge shift from last time, and I really needed this. But honestly, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It felt like every paragraph was like this huge call out of life as we know it. I was like, oh my God, I just need everybody in the world to read these first two chapters, because wow. But I wanted to say, Lisa talked about seeing the similarities, and it's kind of tied up with what April shared too, because I'm someone who, I get so caught up
in the suffering of the world and feeling like, I need to do something to change this. I hate this. And so the part where he talks about meditation not being selfish, I think unlocked an experience for me that I wasn't willing or ready to sit with, because reading that on the one hand was so freeing and helps me realize, like April said, like I'm not helping people when I'm just doing it out of this ego state and I'm trying to put myself in it. But with the loss of that, gosh, I just had this moment of, if my only solution is to focus on myself and like that's the only thing that can make the world better, I had this deep moment of true fear, like deep, deep fear, where I was like, oh my gosh, is this enough? I'm so scared that this is the only option to try to make everything better by starting here. And I don't know, it was a really powerful experience for me to be like, actually, it does all come back here. And what does that mean? Because there's so much here that I haven't been willing to sit with. So it was, yeah, extremely powerful for me. And then that piece of seeing the similarities in everything. I think right now our world is in a state of getting really specific about people's experiences because they are different in a lot of important ways. But to also be able to hold the truth of everything being similar at the same time, it was so healing to me. Like I read the chapter, and as I went around and walked outside and saw people, instead of thinking of all the ways we're different and judging myself for all the ways that I'm different, to just instead think about how we're similar was amazing. It was like a magic power where I was like, oh my gosh, okay. My heart felt so much more open to be able to connect with the humanness, with the aliveness of other beings, other people, and just recognize that we're all sharing that together. So I also feel like my thoughts were a jumble, but it was good, heavy stuff for me, and I'm just excited to keep diving in.
Can I share something with you guys that I, what you said, Kelsey, April, Lisa, I think, when I read that piece in that book, shortly after I read that, I was driving somewhere and I was listening. I don't remember which podcast or something I was listening to. And he said, he explained meditation so the book said about selfish, and this person was saying, when you meditate, right, you're sending all those good thoughts and you're doing all that hard work we're doing all this self work on ourselves, and all that gets uploaded to the collective consciousness. So all the work you're doing right now is all you need to do, because it is a ripple effect. And when I heard that, I've always heard be the ripple effect, right, to other people. I never thought of it as all the work I'm doing is being uploaded to the collective consciousness, right? Like Karen said, all these thoughts that are swirling around, right, you're adding to those thoughts. So the work you're doing and the positive way you're not judging people and all of that, that's uplifting people, because those positive thoughts will start popping in their head, right? That's the way I looked at it. And it was just this, because I was too feeling guilty. I left my job a year ago and my husband's still working, right? So my self-worth of not bringing home, and I'm home meditating, but that it gave me, I was like, oh, that's the work I'm doing right now. So I hope that helps.
I have to say again, I am just in awe of all of you. Your wisdom that you already have, right? And your awareness and so much of what each one of you has shared is the level of awareness of what is going on. That's like a huge I mean, I would say like the whole first beginning part is to just get you to that point of awareness, because that awareness is what carries us further. And so as I'm listening to each of you share and so authentically, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I know both Lisa and Kelsey said I was just a bit of a jumble, and it was not a jumble. It was beautiful. And there was so much wisdom and awareness in what you shared. And so I'm just, I think you're amazing. Hang on one second, Brendan. I want to say just one more thing. Did you notice how hearing other people talk about how the reading impacted them helped you hear it in a different way? And for those of you who weren't able to do the reading, you just got some of the nuggets in the reading, even though you didn't read it. And so it's like, let's let go of this. Okay. Lisa, I really appreciate that little Lisa in Oregon. I didn't want to, my people pleaser, you named it. It's like, I was going to get in there and I'm going to do that because I need to, it's like that is the gem. Recognizing the motivation. You can change it, clean it up later. You can't do anything with it. And he says this in the book, unless you first notice what's there. We can't work with anything unless we know it's there. And you all know this because you've said it to other people. It's like, you're such an asshole. And they go, I'm not an asshole. What are you talking about? And it's like, oh my God, you're such an asshole. I'm not an asshole. I don't see it. You can't change an asshole until they know they're an asshole. Right? So it's like, same goes back to us. So for all of you who have done the reading and were sharing with it, those of you who weren't able to get all of it done, it's okay. You got some, and there will be other times when some of you can't get to it and other people will. And so we do this for each other. It was just beautiful. Brenda, what did you want to say before we move on?
Well, actually, it's kind of on that note. I was just really impressed with Laura that she very just matter-of-factly and calmly stated that it was on her. There was no, there was no judgment, and there was no like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. It was just, here we go. And we can all relate to that, because there was times that I didn't do, So I just thought it was really impressive how that was spoken. Calmly.
Yes. Can I just add, I was very excited when I found out last week it was the wrong book, because then all of a sudden I was caught up on my reading until I got the new book.
That's great. And so notice the authenticity that was showed up today, and it's okay. Nobody was banned or shunned or shamed or ridiculed or said bad job. None of that happened. Instead, we're sitting here going, oh, okay, yeah, all right, you're like me, okay, I've done, like Brenda's response to Laura is just beautiful. It kind of sums it up, right? When you're with somebody who's authentic, it helps you be authentic. And so in a funny way, it's almost like what Kathleen said. We are forming a collective thought form, is the word Kriyananda would use. A collective thought form that's helping us all to let go of the shame, the not good enough, the fear, the self-loathing is a kind of a technical term. And collectively, we're building a thought form that's about, hey, I get to be me. And it's okay to be me. It's okay to be, have my own experience. And once we can be okay having our own experience, guess what? You can now begin to become more mindful and show up for your experience, because you don't have to pretend you're not having it to please everybody else or to not deal with all that stuff you don't want to deal with. It's like, no, we can deal with it if we show up for it. What's going to happen is I'm going to go back into the house. I'm going to go to my husband and go, these guys are fucking amazing. I guarantee you that's going to happen. That's what's going to happen in about 45 minutes. So, So for right now, here's what I'd love to do. I would like to divide you up into two groups. And you might want to, maybe I can put this in the chat. I'm going to ask you, this is just a practice. I'm going to ask one person to bring everybody present and open with the invocation. I'm going to ask somebody else to, and when I say mean present, I mean, forget I said that. The first person is going to help have you find your seat. Just take that first nice breath and then say the invocation. Second person will help you become present by doing what they do. Whatever you are doing to become present in that moment, narrate it. Just narrate it. Just tell everybody, this is what I'm doing. And then everybody else just follows along. Okay? Third person is going to do three-part breaths and narrate to everybody else what you're experiencing as you do it. And then you're going to just follow along. The other people will follow along. And then the fourth person is going to do the breath to open, soften, and release. And you're going to do it. You're going to find a place in your body. You're going to tell people what you're doing. Okay, I'm finding a place that's tight in my body. And they're going to say it's in my shoulder or wherever. And you're going to find a place in your body, or you can go with the same place. And you're going to narrate how you're taking your breath into that area, opening it, and releasing. And you're going to do a few breaths until you feel it softening, and then let it go. And then the fifth person, is going to just use a closing blessing. It can be a loving kindness blessing. It can be Om Shanti Shanti. It can be the English version of Sarvasham. It can be any of the ones on your sheet. You can do anything. The key thing here is we are training you to become aware of what you are doing. And in a primal, fundamental skill of being a meditation teacher, even though I know most of you don't think you're going to be meditation teachers, but this ability to kind of be in your experience and speak at the same time is kind of fundamental. It's kind of fundamental. So we're going to start now. I didn't start it early enough last time with the teachers. And it not only helps you to be in your experience and lead a meditation ultimately, but right now it will help you become more aware of what you're doing, because you're going to have to say it out loud to somebody. Okay, and obviously you can't narrate everything you're experiencing, so just narrate the most important ones. Now, each person, you're not going to spend more than, you know, a minute or two on your section, right? Yeah, Brenda.
So we're not really trying to, because when we've done a little bit of this last couple times, so we're not trying to lead the others.
No.
We're just trying to talk about what's happening for us. It's okay to say, now I'm moving into my hip and blah, blah, blah. And everybody else just follows along.
In fact, I want you to say, you're not saying, bring your attention into your hip. It's like, no, I'm bringing my attention into my hips. I'm feeling a little pain in my left thigh. And now I'm going to feel myself supported. And I'm feeling myself supported by my chair, grounded in the weight of my body. Bingo.
Okay. It makes it all less intimidating to think of it that way. Then of a sudden we have to be ready to tell other people what to do. So
no, you're not telling anybody what to do. You don't know what to tell anybody yet. You got to find out what your experience is. Okay. So no, you're not teaching. You are just helping each other learn to be aware of what you're doing. That's all. So is that clear? The five parts? Did enough of you take notes that you know what it is? Do you have the, a closing blessing? Somebody in the group have something? Okay. So, and I'm going to pop in. I will pop in, but just ignore me. And so let's break you up into two groups. And here we go. And, before I send you out, any questions? Any questions? Okay, so when you get in your group, figure out who's going to do what. And then, all right, good, good. There we go. So, thumbs up, you enjoyed it. Thumbs down, I hated it. Thumbs like this, neutral.
Can we go in the middle?
All right, so mostly up, mostly up, mostly thumbs up. Okay. And so what did you notice doing it? What did you notice?
Well, I was just sharing with the group that that I was surprised that I didn't think I would be able to really feel the sense. I chose the breath for opening and release because I just wanted to challenge myself a little bit. I was uncomfortable with it, so I chose that one. and I thought it would be a very, like, I'm just going to say the words because just to get through it, like just as an exercise, right? Of how could I describe it? And it was kind of the opposite. Like I found the words I chose, I don't know which came first. Actually, it was the words I chose made it deeper, or if it was deep and I'm not sure which, but it was like, I felt it in a different way than I have before ever doing that exercise, that technique. It was like I really felt what I was saying. It was a really cool sensation.
I did the same one, April, and that's exactly how I felt as I was describing it. I could feel it all happening, and it almost put me into it more than when I'm just sitting here,
yeah,
thinking it to myself.
Yeah, yeah, it was
something really about saying it out loud was a little different. I agree.
Yeah.
How did you find being able to kind of be in the experience and talk about it at the same time? How did that go?
It went fine. I felt like it felt good. I think I could have used, well, you know, you always say this, right? Maybe some different words or some different verbiage, but.
No, it sounds like you and April were able to be in it.
Yeah.
And narrate it. What about other people? Did anybody find it difficult?
I did the three-part breath, and you can't really inhale and talk at the same time. And so, I had to like do it really quickly first and then go back and like describe what I just did.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and I did peek in on when Laura, you were doing that, and I thought you did a really nice job because it demonstrated the challenge of something like that. But she said, and then a little more of the inhale up under the collarbone, you know, and it's like, and that's exactly what it is. It's like, it's that last little bit and you described it, but it is hard to be. And then as you exhale, you say exhale through the mouth, but you're talking, right? So it's like part of what we're learning is to, and since you're just narrating your experience, it's your choice. Do I want to breathe into my belly first and then say I'm breathing into my belly? Or do you want to say I'm breathing into my belly and then breathe into your belly? It doesn't matter. You find the way to do it, because the object is to learn how to be in the experience as you're talking about it and not lose the zone. So in other words, think of this as, remember when did we talk about this? When you're sitting in posture and your legs fall asleep or you get uncomfortable, to kind of stay like you are in the dream state when you're sleeping, and you change position while you're sleeping, but you can stay in the dream. Doesn't ruin the dream. Was it here? Didn't we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. And do the same thing here. It's like you want to learn to kind of be in that state, but still talk about it without losing the state.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, so newsflash, we're going to do this again. for the rest of the series, we'll be doing something like this every week. Most every week, there may be one or two where we don't. But so go back and make sure you really understand how the breath I don't know if the title is. I've always called it open and release, but I think the video is named soften and release. So yeah, so that is a confusion that I have generated. But make sure you understand that breath, especially that one right now, because we're going to use that. At the end of the series, we're going to move into Tonglen, and that technique relies on this skill. Okay. So go back in and just make sure you understand resurrection breath, soften and release, three-part breath, and especially for next week. And then as we add more techniques over the weeks, we'll be integrating those. But you will not teaching anybody anything. You're not leading anybody in anything. You are just learning how to be present and mindful of your experience. That's the goal, okay? So to that end, I'm going to talk to you about next week's homework, what I'd like you to do. I don't know if we're going to have time today for me to do this with you before we go, but next week's homework, I've got it here on my little screen. I'm going to share my screen with you so you can see it. Okay, so for next week, I still want you opening Self-Acceptance Project. And even if you read the same one again, I don't care. I want you to read at least one a week. Just read one to see what it says. And this week, we're going over to this book now. Love this guy. Jon Kabat-Zinn, Mindfulness for Beginners. But all I want you to do, I want you to read chapters 4 and 5. They're not long. They're towards the back of the book. One is called Ripening. The other is called Practicing. And in the next week, what we'll do is we're going to take, by now we've read Kriyananda. We've read Bhante, the name I can never say, Gunapatana, or Guna, whatever it is. And Jon Kabat-Zinn, and they're all talking about really the basics of how do I show up for my meditation practice? How do I find my posture? How do I get my attitude and my mind? Where am I doing this? What time of day am I doing this? It's sort of all that same soup of what is the practice that you are finding that's working for you. And next week, I would like us to talk about, each of us share, where are you in this journey to establishing a regular practice? And I can't stress this enough. There's no right or wrong. If you're still struggling, it's like, Laura, God bless you. It was on my console and I just walked by and I enjoyed looking at it. It's like, I've got my cushion and I enjoy looking at it, but I'm still not sitting regularly. That's all we want. Oh, the ability to just name it, say what it is, no shame, no nothing. If it's like, you know, I've discovered, like Steve was saying, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, that's my time to just sit. And it's like Agnieszka feels in the morning with her coffee. I feel like that in my evening. And I sit there and I do a little bit of meditating and it's working for me. We just want to check in. And there's no right or wrong. Does everybody understand this? Everybody clear on that? Mm-hmm. Authentic is what we want. Okay. So then, techniques. Learn the invocation. This week in the group meditations, we're going to be going through the invocation, what it means, and how you can translate it for yourself. But each week, you're going to take, you know, one of the five roles. There will always be an opening and a closing, an opening being the find your seat, and then the three techniques we do in the middle, well, they'll probably always be a getting present. So we'll be shifting up the two techniques in the middle. Although next week it will still be three-part breath and breath to soften and release. After that, we'll be learning new things and we'll be adding those in. So did that make sense? Am I talking out of my butt here? Everybody's following me? Okay.
Can I ask a question here?
Please. Yes.
Okay. So if this is our homework,
yes.
You talk about, it's okay to adapt the invocation. How far, can you give us a little bit more clarity on that? Because
no, I'm not going to give you clarity. I want to talk about it more.
Okay.
So let's get through, because you're all going to be at the group meditation this week. We're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down as to what it actually, what we're saying symbolically with this invocation.
Well,
so what I want you to understand is what is the feeling, the intention behind it, and then adapt it from that. But I want that's part of the group meditation this week.
Is that only on Tuesday? Or are you teaching that on Monday too?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Great. All of them.
Yeah. Okay. All of them. Yeah. It's just that each time it's different as you all are learning. Each group meditation is different. But yes, we're covering it in the mom's classes as well. And then what we're going to move into now is we're going to move into this kind of this really basic skill that's been kind of birthed out of this mindfulness revolution that came out of Boston in the 70s and 80s. And it's called the body scan. And what I'm going to ask you to do this week is to listen to, there's three body scans I'm assigning you to listen to and do. One is the one that I have online. One is the one that's done by Claire, who some of you may have met last year. She's a dear, dear friend of mine, who's a Tibetan Buddhist, young and delightful. And she has the shortest one. And her voice is lovely. She's got music behind it because she's doing it. I'm not a fan of music and meditations, but it works in this one. But it's a sweet one, and it takes the body scan into the angle of working with gratitude for the body. And then the last one, it's a half hour, but this is the guy, Jon Kabat-Zinn. This is the guy who kind of brought the body scan into the mainstream. And I would love you to at least listen to his once. It's longer. It's a half an hour. You may start to drift off during it. That's okay. Just come on back when you're out of the drift, you know, and see how you've responded to each one. Choose the one that you prefer the most and let us know why. Okay. And you're not going to get any points if you like mine the most. Mine, I can't remember what the mine was done for specific circumstances, a specific group of people. So it may not have any, do anything for you at all. So I'm fine. Choose Claire's. And if you say it's because it's the shortest, that's good. If you say Jon Kabat-Zinn, because it really is a beautiful meditation. Okay. All right. So that's the homework. In other words, this is what you're going to do some reading. You've got some techniques that you need to know, but you've been working with them, but you know, go back in and then you're going to do these three body scans. Okay. So that's sometime during the week. And some of you will be like Steve, and not just Steve. I tend to be like this. On Saturday night, you'll be sitting down to do Jon Kabat-Zinn's because it's a half hour, and you're going to fall asleep in the middle of it, and you're going to come back on Sunday, and you're going to say, yeah, that's what I did. So I don't know which one I like best. I'm going to go with Claire's because it's short, and I can stay awake. All right? Permission? All right. This is your sadhana. So in other words, this is your meditation practice for the week. Please continue to be kind, gentle, and understanding. That's essential. And start to work with this idea that anytime you sit to meditate, even if it's for a minute or 10 minutes or a half hour, for any of the body scans, for anything you do, yes, I get to meditate. And if you can't get to, I get to meditate, then it's important to look at, whoa, what's the resistance? That is as important as having that attitude of, yes, I get to meditate. So we want to start to look at what is getting in the way of that. And as several of you mentioned today so beautifully, whoa, there's this selfishness, you know? I mean, there's all this pain, there's all this stuff going around me, and I'm sitting here meditating, right? It's like, let's look at that. That's actually a really important part of your path, part of your journey. So we don't want to dismiss it. We don't want to pretend it's not there. We want to look at it. Okay. My suggestion for your routine, if you can get to it, is obviously find your seat, narrate what you're doing, keeping a meditative awareness, do the invocation. And then as you come through your class, then after your class, you can start to adapt it, right? Do a resurrection breath, three-part breaths, narrating to yourself what you're doing, breath to soften and release till the area softens, but no more than 3 minutes. I don't want you to spend more than 10, 12 minutes doing this. You should be able to do this within 10 minutes, okay? And then enjoy the after effect. That's really important, even if it's just 3 minutes where your mind goes, oh, I really enjoyed that. That felt good. We want to get that moment in there and then do the closing blessing of your choice. Is that clear? That's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes. Okay. And then I just added these in because they are part of your sadhana, is to at least 3 times this week do a body scan of some type. What do we think? Are we good? Fun? Easy? It's going to make you feel good? Yeah, Ramon.
We're not doing the Ishta meditation anymore.
You can absolutely do the Ishta meditation, but I'm not assigning it at this point because here's where my head went. If I assign the Ishta meditation and all of this, that's going to be too much and it's going to be an immediate, I can't do that. It's too much, right? Yeah. So what I'd like you to do is we've got the Ishta. You invoke the Ishta with your invocation. You have a moment with your Ishta there. And that's going to be enough to sustain us. And then when we meet each week, we'll do the one I did with you this morning. And we'll, however, you can still talk to your Ishta during the day. You can still, you know, say goodnight at night, say hello in the morning, call on your Ishta if you need something. And don't feel bad if all you ever do is call on your Ishta because you need something. That's what your Ishta is there for. That's what your Ishta is there for. Right. Okay. Good question. Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions? Yeah. Okay. So with that, I think let's just close because we don't have time for me to do the one other thing I wanted to do today. We'll pick that up next week. And otherwise, let's just do a gentle closing. And gosh, maybe we can even get you out a few seconds early for a change. How's that sound? All right. So find your seats.
I think I want to just keep hiding in here though.
Yeah, you do it. You do it. That's how you want to feel about it, right? It's like, ooh, I get to be in here. You all stay there. That's the feeling, Brenda. You got it. All right, loves. Find your seats. Take a nice, gentle three-part breath. As you exhale, soften, settle into your seat. Follow the breath. Follow that next in-breath into the chest, feeling that heart center opening. And just notice how that shows up. Is the chest lift and open? Do your shoulder blades come together? How do you find that opening in your heart center? And then into that openness, that unguarded openness for just this moment, bring in the thought of someone who makes your heart smile. And feel that smile. And keep thinking about that person until the feeling of the heart smile becomes real. And it floats up to your face and even your lips. And the corners of your eyes lift into a smile. And then release the person, the thought of that person, and rest here for a moment with the heart smiling, the face smiling. Just that feeling of the heart smiling. And let's close with an Om Shanti. Inhale. Oh. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Be blessed, dear ones. Be blessed. Have a most lovely week. And if you want to unmute and say goodbye to each other, please do. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Great week.